Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio on a Sunday. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. Got an exciting show today, and we'll get to it here in just a second. I want to remind everybody that if you want to find out where Dave and I are around the country, it's real easy. You just go to darknessevents.com. Once again, darknessevents.com, and you can find out where we're going to be around the country. I know you're saying, Tim, there's a bunch of COVID going on around the country. Well, there are events coming up, believe it or not, after 2021 starts, and they're starting to book up now. So I know that may sound unusual, but there are promoters that are booking events, and we've been booked to a few events in 2021, so we'll be putting those up on the darknessevents.com webpage, and you can check that out there. Also, want to let you know that I'm on today because Dave's had some technical difficulties where he is filming right now for the Holzer Files. So that's why you don't get a dose of Dave today. Sometimes weird things happen in bizarre places, but it isn't necessarily paranormal. I do want to tell you a little bit about today's guests. Today's guests are actually good friends of ours, and we've had them on before. We do enjoy having them on from time to time because they do have some incredibly spooky tales to tell us from time to time. We like to sit down and talk with them as well. Robert Major and Antoinette, they love to come in. They're part of ghostremover.com. And rather than read a long and drawn-out bio, let's bring them in and have them tell you a little bit about what they do. Robert and Antoinette, welcome back to Darkness Radio. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Yep, we're great.
And, now, staying safe here, I'll tell you, in the midst of all what's going on around us.
Tell people where you're located.
Oh, we are in San Diego, California.
And, of course, your state at this point in time is kind of starting to close things back down. I know Governor Newsom is starting to close things back down. But, of course, you're available in case people do have issues with spirits.
Oh, that's correct. We've actually upped our ante, so to speak. We're actually able to connect over the airwaves with people, and that's something that just has transpired since last October. So we'll talk about that, how we're able to, because we work with a spirit guide, and with there was actually more than one, and we're able to now zoom in on people and help them with attachments long distance.
Let me ask you this, and I'll throw this first to you, Robert. Do you find, in this time of when people are, I'll use the word isolated, with a pandemic, are you finding that hauntings are going up because people are stuck in their homes?
Well, I probably come in this way, is that once people weaken, the paranormal world can strengthen. And what we've come to find out, we've been doing this is our 23rd year now, is we're finding that once people get weak, then they're open for attachments. Now, in this COVID time, we know that a lot of people are weakened from the sickness, and attachments now have a kind of a free-for-all. They can just go in and attach to people and steal their life force.
Now, is it a matter of being at home and being weakened by the thought of being trapped at home, or is it weakened by what is it that's weakening people? Is it the thought of like a claustrophobic being trapped? I'm sorry, I'm getting wrapped around my own words here. Or how weakened in what way? Explain to me weakened in what is it a weakened and resolved? Weakened how?
Well, I would say because of the stress levels, stress will weaken you. Mm-hmm. Depression will weaken you. Fear of the unknown will weaken you.
So what it does is it kind of like, look at it like it's a crack in your aura.
Okay.
And it's your force field, and it'll cause a crack, and that's how they get in. And these are bad spirits that go in to try to take over your life or influence you in a lot of different ways. Could be really bad.
Let me ask you this, and I want to throw this to Antoine at first on this one. If you're an introvert, if you're someone who actually enjoys being at home, is there such a thing as being at home too much? Can that be a weakness as well, and bring those bad spirits in that way as well?
No, not at all.
No,
they have to be able to get in to your body. And so, like Robert just mentioned, was they get in during like if you're having depression or you're going through traumatic experiences or your health has failed, or there's so many different things, but it has to come in through a cracked
in the aura. And I like to say also proximity to the attachments. There are certain areas where attachments run rampant. We know that, like in areas like New Orleans, we know that there is darkness everywhere. So when we do our work, we know that, well, we can go to a certain area and we know we're going to find a lot more attachments and attached people.
And not to mention ghosts.
Understandable. So I'm going to cast a wider net here, and I'll throw this at you first, Robert, and then Antoinette, feel free to follow up on this. Do you feel that this COVID sickness in itself is quite the dark shadow? I mean, we look at, when we talk about an illness like COVID, it kind of in itself has an evil aura to it. It comes with pestilence and death and things that we look at as a negative connotation. And we, in itself, there's quite a bit of fear that gets cast out with it. Do you think with that comes negative entities?
Yes. I believe once what we've come to find out is a lot of the COVID patients, they get attached. And once they get attached through the darkness, their ability to heal diminishes dramatically. So that is something, in just not in COVID, but in a lot of other sicknesses. So once we know that the person's attached and we do the removal, we find that they have a much greater chance of healing.
And this is with any type of sickness, because we do have experience with that. We had a gentleman who, he had a really bad cancer, but he wasn't healing because he couldn't breathe. And the wife and he were going for all these treatments. And not that we cure anything, that's absolutely not true, but mm-hmm. we do take attachments off if you're attached, and it allows your body to heal. So they came to us, he was attached, he had something like 20-something, and then, attachments, and then we took them off, and then he was able to breathe, and that was a big thing, because he just couldn't get any air.
And then he could heal.
Yeah.
And now he came to us from Costa Rica, he was down there doing treatments there to heal, and they know of us down there, and they referred him to us, and then he traveled here. We did the removal, and he went on to successfully heal. Now, we haven't personally been able to come in contact with people in the COVID space to do removals because right now it is the pandemic and everyone is, you know, locked down. But, I mean, I would like to put it out there that if somebody is having a hard time with it, to be able to check them. And for us, being connected in the spiritual world, all we need is your full name at birth and birth date, and we're able to tell if you are attached.
It would be interesting for you to, I think it would be, for you to come across someone who would potentially, I mean, even with hospital restrictions and everything, but to come across somebody who would potentially be on a ventilator or someone who's, I would think, deep within the condition to see if potentially they do have some sort of attachment on them. It seems like short of physical restrictions or age or whatnot, if there were something else behind it, it seems like with everything that we hear about COVID, you know.
In my opinion, it wouldn't be like what's behind the COVID. It's something like if they are attached, so it would be hindering healing. We did have a case in New York, and I'll let Robert tell you that.
Sure.
Yeah, there was a case. This is how we started the long-distance removals. There was a case where the individual was bedridden because every time he stood up, his blood pressure would drop to like 80, and he would be pass out. And the doctors were trying all kinds of different therapies, drugs, physical types of therapy. And what happened was, well, he was there for 6 or 7 weeks in the hospital, and there was just no success. And then we were able to
check him.
We found out he had 16 attachments on there. Once one gets in, they invite many more. And then we were able to do the removal. Once we did the removal, his blood pressure returned to normal, and he was able to leave the hospital. Now, again, we're not healers. We don't say anything about our medical skills, but we do know that we have the ability to remove the attachments and then allow the medical people to take care of business.
So let me ask you this. Say there's somebody sitting at home right now. Let's say I'm sitting at home right now, both Robert and Antoinette, and I have an issue with continuing complications from diabetes, and I'm throwing myself in the mix here, and I can't seem to get ahead of my complications. What is the difference, and how do I tell what the difference is between just not taking care of myself and potential attachments? How do I know when it's time to come to you as opposed to when it's time to maybe look at myself? Where is that dividing line?
Well, the dividing line is that we're normally the last resort. We realize that. We would like to be up the ladder a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when people come to us, it's like, wow, you know, too bad you didn't come to us a little earlier. And like I said, the attachments come in many forms. And it's just not sickness. A lot of mental health issues here.
Okay.
A lot of times when people, and we think attachments are probably the predominant cause of mental health issues in the world. But it's just not recognized because of the, you know, let me just say the modus of the medical fields. But I mean, once they delve into the invisible world, we call it the invisible epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I mean, we've helped thousands of people, and now we hope to actually open up a lot more now, because people had to come to us all those years and it was difficult for them to travel, and now we're able to just
Do it remotely,
and that's incredible. So I think people, you know, and we get, you know, I'm robertafterlife@gmail.com. And before, when we've been on the show, we were inundated with so many requests. And we would say, oh, yeah, yeah, you are attached. Oh, I'm sorry, but I can't get to you. But now we're going to be able to remedy that.
And we have. We've been talking to Brazil, Vietnam, where else? Where was that one?
The Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, Saudi Arabia. We work all over the place now, which is really cool. But, and I just want to touch base back on when you were asking about the diabetes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we work with a bunch of spirit guides on the other side. So during a session, per se,
mm-hmm.
They will tell you, hey, we can't cure you or diabetes, but you are not, you know, you're not stepping up to the plate. And they usually give a spiritual prescription. And you will follow that because if you don't, see, they have the inside scoop. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to follow your spiritual prescription, and that's how we do it usually towards the end of our session with the individual.
The spirit can enter that person's body and detail what's going on. They'll say, hey, your blood pressure's off. We see that you have potential hypertension. These are the changes that you're going to have to make for you to keep your health. So that many times it's diet. I mean, diet is predominantly the issue with most sickness, I believe.
Is there such a thing when you sit down with somebody is too far gone? Do you have a situation where you sat down with somebody and spirit says, you know what, this person's too far gone?
Well, but we have somebody who is too far gone. They were within a couple cases where they were close to death. I mean, their weight was way down. It was a heroin addict. He was attached by 40 other heroin addicts who had lived before. And what they'd like to do is continue on their addiction. And if they find an opening in a heroin addict, he'll be attached.
And this was a very young man. I think he was only 25.
Right.
And he was being aloof. He wouldn't, his mother was trying to step in and, you know, get him to treatment. And he just wouldn't. And he was like half dead when he came to us. Seriously?
They'd given him just 2 weeks to live.
Yep.
We did the removals. He agreed to go into the rehabilitation,
and
he was successful. He went on to live his life.
Yeah, and he looks really amazing. I always ice by him on Facebook to make sure.
Yeah.
Great. But he does. He looks amazing.
And he would have been dead otherwise. Mm-hmm. There's just no way.
So it was his will to come to you that got those attachments off of him so he could continue that journey.
It was his mother's will.
His mother's will. Okay. Because it's sometimes it's a little confusing how that journey begins and how that intervention helps to continue that journey.
Well, a little journey, Ben. Hold on.
That's
go ahead.
Right.
Just go ahead. Tell them about how, a journey of how they get to us. Sometimes people are coming and they get blocked a lot from attachments, by the way. They'll try to block the person from getting to us.
Maybe an automobile accident.
Yeah. Or a plane delay.
Plane.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they do. The attachments will do their best to prevent that person to come to see us.
But then they do have backup. Like, say they have somebody in their life who passed away, like their mother, grandmother, grandfather. They intervene on the other side and will get that person to us somehow.
Right. They'll come to them in a dream, and all of a sudden, I had a girl that came that came to us from San Francisco, and her father came to her in a dream. And then she was able to look us up on the internet, and then when she came to us for the help, her father was present in spirit form, and he was very thankful. And so we know that they come to us in many ways, but a lot of times through assistance in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful exactly are these attachments?
Let me give you an example how powerful they
sure,
are.
Sure, sure.
So I think we've told this story before.
What, on the kid?
Yeah, the kid.
I don't know. This is one of the, it's totally unusual, but it's out of alignment from what normally goes on. But she's going to cover this.
Yeah, because I really love kids and animals a whole bunch. So Anyways, so this family calls Robert, and they live on an Indian reservation in Oregon. And so they all drive down, the whole family, because they said, he said to Bob, hey, my kid is wild. And he's like, okay, well, you know, we checked him. He does have attachments. Come on down. So we find out that he's attached by bunch of Indians, and that the Indians actually pulled in some big wildcats, which is very odd. This is the oddest story, I think, that we've
first time ever that an animal was present inside the person.
Really?
Yes. And, so they show up, and here comes this little boy. He's probably 6 or 7, and he's running like Mowgli, and he's growling, and he's running up our stairway. He's running along the, what is that, the outside of our building, and then he runs in and starts to growl and sniff the receptionist, and he's on all fours, and he was real. I mean, we're talking, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen, and we couldn't get him into our room to get him removed, and so the dad finally got him calmed down. But before that, he was under our table in there, and he was peeking out through the curtain like a wild cat would and was growling at us.
So once the animal realized that it was going to be removed, it went into fear mode, and then it started taking over the child, I think, a lot more. Mm-hmm. So, but that whole family, no kids would play with Rudolph here.
Yeah, they weren't playing with him. They were scared of him.
They were scared.
He didn't talk either.
Right.
So they brought him in, and his dad held him. And he finally calmed down, and we were able to do the removal. It was the hardest removal, I believe, I've ever assisted the spirit world in getting off of this kid. And We got it. And then he just, like, gets up and walks out to his mother and is talking. So, Mom, like...
like nothing had ever happened.
Yes.
And he's back to normal. And... and hopefully his whole life now, he'll be more social. I couldn't imagine having your friend turn into a lion on you.
Mm-hmm.
So if the two of you had to speculate, what would you say would have happened had you not been able to get that animal out of him? What? How does he live his life then?
Yeah, right. Well, again, once the person weakens, the attachments get stronger. So we really don't know the outcome of that.
Well, he probably, in my own opinion, because they would have said, oh, he's mental, and stuck him in a mental institution or something, because a lot of the attachments end up making people go into the mental institutions. I mean, we know that.
And they drug him, yeah. And I don't know, did we bring up this one? Did we know that a girl, she was in a special needs home, and she was biting herself and chewing herself to the bone. Mm. And it just started, the behavior just started, and they didn't know what to do with her. And they said, well, do we need to go 24/7 restraint here? And we knew the caretaker. She goes, well, can you check her? And we did, and we found out she was attached by a cannibal that had roamed the earth 350 years previously, living, and then as that cannibal passed, it had serially attached through the years and finally found this girl and causing this problem. And her being in the home like that was very difficult for us to go in. So we were kind of like I spy kind of thing. We knew that she had to go to a medical appointment, and we kind of like met the caretaker at the before his, the medical appointment, and in 10 minutes we were able to take the attachment off, and my sister in trance could see the attachment. It had sharpened teeth, and they're really reluctant to go because they believe possession is 90% ownership.
Mm-hmm. So we were able to get this cannibal off of this girl, and then she just never chewed herself down to the bone again.
Yeah. So we don't know how many cases exist out there. There's a woman in Hawaii
now. Robert, let me stop you real quick before you hold on to that thought about that story. I have to ask Antoinette. So you're negotiating with a cannibal. I've got to know. Yeah. I've got to know, as you're negotiating with a cannibal, how do you convince a cannibal to let go of another human being? Because obviously it's enjoying biting this human being, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we work with spirit guide on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so on the other side, spirit guides are just more powerful than anybody. There's not, he didn't have a chance. So it's like, it'd be like casting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you cast this cannibal and I just pass him off to the other side. And I have help. I mean, I have multiple spirit guides that help me do this work. I believe, you know, because I was gifted with being able to extract these things, I get to physically help the spirit guide yank it out. So, I mean,
the spirit guide's with us right now. His name's Lane. He's the one who assists us. And he's spoken on a few shows before. And once she goes into trance, he comes through.
Like an attachment.
Yeah, just like an attachment.
But a nice one.
but of the white light instead of the dark.
So yes. There's no negotiation. It's more of a you're coming with me type of deal.
You're going. 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
And then when they do try to cause harm like that, they don't get to go back and, you know, get educated a little more or anything because they caused harm and they were supposed to go into the light when they passed in the beginning. So that's where ghosting comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, there's so much to this, to it. This whole
the invisible world.
Yeah, there's so much into it, and I mean, I've just learned so much. I could go on and on, but it just would take forever.
The hierarchy on the other side also. There's dominant ghosts. There's subdominant ghosts, and then there's attaching ghosts
and good ghosts.
Yeah, and they're all there. I mean, we're all going to be a ghost once we leave the body.
But you just have to make the choice. You should be going
into that light,
mm-hmm.
and otherwise you're going to get stuck. I mean, we remove ghosts all the time.
What about the step ghost? And they were so happy to go.
They were
at the hospital last week.
Yeah, okay. A couple of weeks ago we went there around a hospital because we realized so many ghosts are there.
Because they pass away there.
They pass, and they miss the boat. They didn't go into the light.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there. All of a sudden, 61 ghosts are there waiting to move because that's our spirit guides help them cross to the other side. And the
we were having this great conversation with one of them who could actually really she could really talk, and she's the one who arranged this big thing for everybody to go over now, and they were so happy because none of them went over when they were supposed to.
Right, and there was a ghost that had been there 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine, I mean, 100 years, you're missing out on life experience because you go into the light. So we deal with a lot of helping ghosts move, and we can cover that more if you'd like, as we're moving, transitioning from attachments into ghosts.
Let's do that. But I want to backtrack just for a quick second. And you mentioned something that piqued my curiosity. You said when we, you know, of course, when we die, we all become ghosts. But right. one of the factors in there, and one of the questions I have is, you know, we can all become a certain ghost. We can become a good ghost. We can become a bad ghost. We can become a helper ghost. We can become an attachment. We can become whatever.
Right.
What determines what we become? What power level we become? Our job? What, say, Tim becomes a ghost tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
How do I choose what I want to become? What power level I become? What job I want to become? How do I determine my outcome?
Well, the thing is that you really want to redeem your soul. So you'd like to hop into your little ball of light and go back to where we come. We're all aliens here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to do. And I all the listeners out there, I'd say the first thing you think about is that light's going to be there. You're probably going to have a relative that's going to kind of guide you.
Go.
But what happens a lot, you'll have darkness around you saying, hey, if you didn't live a good life, you're going to have a problem. You might want to stay here. And then that's where the problems start occurring. So people who didn't live a good life, that's where you're going to find so many of them in the paranormal world. And we come in touch with a lot of them. And what happens is if you didn't live that life and you were the bad person, and, you know, you'll go to judgment. And I would say, don't consider being a ghost. Just that's kind of like a last resort also. Make the right choice. Go to the other side. They do have a time out. I think in religious context, it's called purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other individuals who have crossed a major lines. And when they pass and if they go to the other side, they'll no longer exist.
And that's the pedophiles?
Right.
Anything that does with
murders.
Child murders. What else? It just, you know, real severity of...
Yeah, it's the severity of the...
Of their crime.
Of the crime, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that when O.J. crosses, he no longer exists.
Really?
So, they've... Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, he doesn't get any...
He won't get a second chance. Mm-hmm. Because,
he crossed the line.
Yeah.
Huh. So let me ask you this. Let's go from one extreme to another. How did Lane get his job as a spirit guide then?
Ah. Now, Lane, we moved all the ghosts out of the World Trade Center way back, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Lane was one of the ghosts that we moved. Now, he wasn't the real good guy. He was an 18-year-old thief. He was a young black man who used to work the World Trade Center. He'd go up the elevator, he'd look for tourists, backpacks, purses, whatever. And on that day, the rest of his crew had left, and he went up one more time, and that's when he ended up in the position. Now, he could have escaped on his own because he was a fast guy, but he stopped a couple floors from getting out of the building to help a handicapped man. And as that happened, the building collapsed further, and that's how he ended up dying. So he gets exalted because he kind of sacrificed his life helping somebody. So that's how he ended up as a spirit guide on the other side, and he works with children over there, and he works with us all the time. If you want to talk to him, he can come in anytime. You let us know.
It'd be interesting to talk to Lane at least for a couple of minutes and find out how you make that turn, I guess. Yeah, sure. It'd be I'd like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he's going to come in right now.
Okay.
And
hey,
bro. Okay, we're doing an interview.
Hello.
This is Lane.
Hello.
Hi, Lane. How are you?
Okay, man.
I guess my name's Tim. My questions for you would be this. You know, it's from what Robert and Antoinette tell me, you had an interesting turn from an earthly life to a spiritual life.
I wouldn't trade it in either.
What's that?
He said he wouldn't trade it in either.
You wouldn't trade it in either. Okay. My question for you would be, why in that last moment of your life did you make the decision you decided to make?
What are you talking? Would he tell the story about the handicapped dude?
Yeah, yeah. Why did you decide to save the handicapped dude rather than save yourself?
Oh, well, I have a heart, man. I was going down a stairwell, and he was just on the landing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was begging, and people were just running by. It was real crazy. Mm-hmm. And I just said, no, I could do this. And then... But I couldn't, obviously. But I did flip the chair around and try to go down.
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't, I didn't really, give it a thought, really. I didn't give a thought about, I'm not going to help him. Because why would you do that?
Well, I understand that, but even in those last moments, as physical death is happening, you don't have that second thought?
I didn't know it was going to to get killed.
No, I know. We all don't. Right. We all don't know that. Yeah. Yeah. But
I got firebombed.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't know the building was collapsing. I just knew everybody was running and smoke everywhere. That's all. And I thought, well, I'll get him down.
So as your physical body is passing, and as you're making that transition into the afterworld, I guess, as you could put it that way, are you being notified that you're forgiven, so to speak, for your earthly life?
No one got notified. We was just all at the bottom of the rubble, right? And there was a lot of us. So
1,200.
Yeah, so we were just down there going, oh, man, what just happened? Kind of didn't really even know we was dead at first.
So you really don't know you're dead. You're kind of there in spirit form?
We got snuffed out quick. And then we were stuck because no one wanted to go. And sometimes the light, just to let you know, sometimes the light's not white either. It's kind of greenish, kind of pretty.
Greenish? Really?
Yeah, it varies in colors, so it's not always a white light that you run into, and then there's a lot of fear going on, right?
Oh yeah, lots of fear. So then, we were there for a while,
right?
And then just hanging out, not doing anything, not moving, just kind of staying there. There's a lot of us, and then we just kind of heard a voice. We didn't even know. We thought it was God at first. Because it was weird, you know, the way it sounds. And it sounded, if you could imagine that, it sounded like inside of a can. And then we met, Marcos too, right?
No, that was not Marcos. That was after.
Okay, well, anyways.
Anyway, it was my voice that they were hearing. I was working with Ra. At the time.
Okay, and then, well, there was always
right,
her.
Right.
She's like a ringleader over here.
Of the guides.
Yeah. So she was not all the guides, just on where we're at, what portion we're at. Anyway,
so what did that voice say to you?
What's that?
What did the voice say to you?
If we're ready to go, they can move us.
Right. That we were involved with moving. We spent 6 months moving the ghost. From the World Trade Center, we'd meet twice weekly and move a certain portion because we couldn't move them all at once, but we could take a certain group. And each session, we would speak to somebody, and they would tell us their story about how they lived on Earth. And,
oh, wow.
And we were thankful that we were there to help them.
So you were there for a while, Lane.
Well, yes, I was. But wow. So anyways, I decided to come over, but I did, like Robert said, I got exalted. So then I just had a little education over here, and I decided to be, well, not me decide myself, but I had a choice to be a child guide or, you know, other stuff. So I took the child guide. I love the child.
So when young children pass early, he takes
therapy. I educate them.
He educates them, right.
What do you educate the children in?
Death and missing their parents and why they pass.
What's the most common thing that children are confused about when they pass?
Where the parents are.
And how do you explain to them that they've passed away? How do you let them know that they're no longer with their parents or no longer on Earth?
Yeah, we don't really use those terms at all.
Okay.
You know, it's already devastating enough. So we just talk about in class, them being angels now. And you just skip over that. And it's weird because it doesn't take long for you to forget and for you to not worry so much about where you came from. It just goes away.
Let me ask you this, Lane, because there's a lot of parents on Earth who have lost children, and I'm guessing that they want to know, do those children get to see their parents again?
You know what? No, because when they come, well, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Children tend to get to go back, right? Because they're so innocent, they didn't do anything to death. So they get to go back, but not to the same parent. But they don't recognize that. The ones that recognize that they passed are the ones that stay over, right?
Okay.
They don't really go back. But a lot of children go back, especially the ones that got, you know, snuffed out real quick.
Yeah, they go to the front of the line, so to speak, in reincarnation.
Oh.
It's really cool. It's really cool. But they don't, when they first get here, they're upset, but it goes away real quick. It's very magical here.
Oh.
It just goes away. I mean, I don't hardly remember anything from my past unless Robert brings up my story. Then I could kind of go, okay. Because it really doesn't matter once you're on the other side.
Okay.
Just to let you know, it's nice over here.
Okay. So you don't really dwell much on your earthly life at all. You're pretty much dwelling in the here and now and what you're doing on the other side.
Sometimes I dwell because sometimes like Robert will cook something and then have his sister eat it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember the food taste.
Uh-huh.
But only thing, really. I mean, yeah, I'm good over here.
I do a couple sessions a year where all the guides who we work with can come in and I prepare their favorite food while they were on Earth and they get to taste it.
So what was your favorite food, Lane?
Well, I don't want to be a stereotype, but I love ribs.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
You know what I mean? Like barbecue?
Yep. Yep, I do too.
I'll get to eat them.
That's my thing.
I love them too. I love them too.
Tito salad too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, so over here it's beautiful. I just hold class like one session a day in your time.
Okay.
Like, counting time, like one session a day. And then the rest of the time I could do whatever I want. I could create any kind of scene I want to do anything to.
Any kind of scenario he can create over there.
So
go to the mountains for the day? I do.
So, with all the work that you get to do over there, is there... I'll split up this question. One, and answer this one first. Is there a chance for, and you're going to think this is funny, because I'm putting this in earthly terms, is there a chance for promotion? So, do you move on from counseling kids to another station? So, like, you go from kids to teenagers or something like that?
I just hold this position because that's what I want to do.
Okay.
When you're over here, it depends on, you know, your status. You could choose stuff or choose a different job if you wanted to. There's so many spirit guides. There's so many. Like, you couldn't count them.
Right. And then also, depending on the life you led here on Earth, I mean, if you led a really good life and you did incredible things for people, we call it a significant life, and then you get more choices.
Yeah. So I had a significant.
I keep saying I'm bucking for wings.
Well, you can't get no wings.
I know.
He wants to come over here and just be an angel right away. No, that doesn't happen. But you could, you know. You get to get something. Because he does make a difference in people's lives. So.
Okay. And then I guess the second part of my question is there ever an opportunity for you to reincarnate back here on Earth? And if there was, would you take that opportunity?
I will not. Really? I will not take any of that. And I could have in the beginning, but I just chose to stay here. I mean, I'm living life.
He's in a really good position.
Right. And I'm living life. It's not like, I'm just a dead man walking. I'm living life over here. This is a great life.
You don't find a certain sadness about dealing with kids and the fact that they're missing their parents?
Not anymore. Once they get here, it's a very short process for them to be, you know, upset, and then it's just gone. The Lord takes stuff away.
Okay.
Dude, you don't bring all that sadness over here.
Okay.
You bring nothing. Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love and light, man.
Okay.
That's on the other. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got to head back out. I can't
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Lane. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Tim, right?
Yep, Tim. Yep.
Okay, then. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, not literally, right? I mean, I'm not...
Well, no. Not literally, man.
Okay.
But before I go, I just want to tell you about your blood pressure's not all that.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of know that. I gotta go get it looked at.
Yes, you do, because we just kind of took a little look at you. So, yeah, so your blood pressure is going to be a factor. So get it taken care of, man.
There
yeah,
you go.
I will, definitely.
Advice from the spirit world there, Tim.
I will.
All right, then.
Okay,
right.
He's gonna go. So,
all right.
And
thank you, Lane. Thank you. With that, let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll get more tales from Robert and Antoinette about some of their cases that they've been dealing with recently. Again, during the break, check out their website. Their website is ghostremover.com, and again, if you have some attachments that you'd like to have looked at, you can check out their website during the break. They're available for remote appointments only. Again, ghostremover.com. When we come back, more with Robert and Antoinette Major. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. So let me ask you the question. How do you feel today? You feel pretty good? Is your pain level okay? You feel pretty bad? You taking a beating today? I'll tell you how I feel. I feel pretty darn good. And why do I feel that way? Well, I've been taking my feels. Hey, it's your buddy Timmy, and I'm here to talk to you today about Feels Premium CBD. That's right. I've been taking it over the few weeks that we've been talking about it, and gradually, slowly but surely, even though I've been taking a little bit of flack from you guys, and you know who you are, I've been feeling better. How about you? Are you experiencing stress? Do you have anxiety? Do you have chronic pain? Do you have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Well, you're not alone. I, myself, along with many of you, have been having those troubles, but I no longer do because personally, I've been on Feel CBD and I've been experiencing a waning of that pain, of that stress, of that anxiety that comes with chronic pain. I even have some anxiety. I'll tell you, I was for 6 long months, and I got to tell you, I do have some good news as far as my foot goes. For 6 long months, I was in a pressure cast to try and heal a foot wound. And I get claustrophobia from being in that tight foot wound. And I would get anxiety from that. I would get real bad claustrophobia and anxiety. And I would take my feels before bedtime and it would help me. Because I just thinking about that gives me the creepy crawlies. But I tell you, dropper full at night before I go to bed, dropper full in the morning to help me deal with the arthritis that is littered in my spine and my neck, my back, my knees. Keeps me going throughout the day, helps me sleep at night. And I thank God I have Feels in my life. What is Feels, you may ask? Well, Feels is premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. You don't have to go out for it. You don't have to run around and try and find it. It's delivered directly to you and helps naturally reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. And I tell you, in my case, it's done all four, and it's done it beautifully. I've told you before, everything on my body hurts except for the tip of this finger on this pinky on my left hand. Everything else is blown out. It's it's herniated. It's broken. It's distended. Everything with me is just destroyed. If you don't believe me, go see my doctor and read hundreds and hundreds of pages of medical texts. It'll makes for good reading if you have insomnia. We've gone over it multiple times here in this forum. I don't need to recap it with you one more time, but I tell you, Feels has helped me reduce that stress, reduce that anxiety, reduce that pain, and help me get a good night's sleep, which you'd be amazed what a good night's sleep will do when it comes to healing you overall. It's real easy for you to take. What you do is, depending on what your dosage is, you place a few drops of Feels under your tongue, and you feel the difference within minutes. Now, you may need to take it only once a day, maybe a couple times a day, depending on your dosage. Everybody's different. The thing to remember about CBD is you got to find your right dose in order to get you to that point where you're feeling good in your life, and you get to the point where you're either pain-free or your pain is diminished, okay? Leave some room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need to take more or less to get the effect that you're looking for. All right? Now, although I love to help you, and I'm here anytime you need me, the real support is right over there at Feels. Feels has the most experienced, the most genuinely warm human beings, and the most knowledgeable human beings on their free CBD hotline to help guide you through your personal experience. Unfortunately, although I do use the product, and I do use it well for me, I don't know your body composition. I don't know your resistance to different products. I don't know all of that stuff. You can say, well, what do you take? Well, I'm a huge human being and I have a hell of a resistance. It's not the same as you. And I don't know your medical background. You want to contact the people at Feels, and they have a free CBD hotline to help you get through your experience. And they can tell you exactly what you need in order to get you through and get you pain free. Feel better naturally. Feels works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high. There's no hangover. There's no addiction. This isn't the hey man part of the plant. I get a lot of flack from some of our listeners who think it is. It is not. This is like taking ibuprofen. I wish I could get through to some people who email me about Feels. Listen to the sound of my voice, people. Feels is CBD. It's CBD, not THC. It's CBD. It's like taking ibuprofen. It's all natural, and it really does help. Even my mother, my lovely mother, takes CBD now. She takes it and helps her with extreme pain in her back, her sciatic pain, her neck, and her knees, her joints. Unfortunately, I've inherited the same arthritis at a young age that she had, so... But it's helping her as well. So there you go. Join the Feels community. Get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order. And you can pause or cancel at any time. Although, why would you ever want to cancel if you start feeling good? That's always baffled me. I don't know why. Feels has me feeling my best every day. It can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/darkness. You'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's a heck of a deal. You're going to want to try it out, and you're going to want to continue to go on Feels month after month after month to start feeling your best. Start feeling like you did when you were 20. Why not? I mean, mentally, you know you feel that way. Why not physically start feeling that way? Do yourself a favor. Treat yourself today. Get out of pain. Why live with that long-term pain and think that you're suffering? What cause are you suffering for right now? That's what I want to ask you. What are you suffering for? Get out of pain. Live the best quality life you can. Go to feels.com/darkness. That's feals.com/darkness. Become a member. Get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. One more time, feels.com/darkness. Get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/darkness. Do it today. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis, in for Dave Schrader, who unfortunately had some technical difficulties while he's out on the road today with the Holzer file. So I'm in for Dave today. Our guest is Robert and Antoinette Major. Their website is ghostremover.com. We're having a fascinating conversation. Again, we were talking with Spirit Guide Lane just before the break, and if you missed it, you need to rewind in your file and go listen to that. Robert and Antoinette, welcome back to the program. Let's talk a little bit about some of the cases that you have been tackling, and I want to talk about some of the attachments you've been tackling too, specifically. And let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you have come up against, because it seems to me that when we say attachments, it's kind of a generic term. Like, you know, someone may say to me, well, you know, like when we were talking earlier in the program, you said, well, someone had 20 attachments, or someone has 17 attachments, or somebody has so many attachments. I'm familiar.
There's always dominant attachments, those who take who are the leaders. And every time they bring on sub attachments, it strengthens them. It's almost like bringing in more that will help them become more powerful within the individual. So once we go after the strong ones, I mean, I have the story, and I think we might have covered that one, where the individual worked at a high-tech company. And remember now, you're kind of responsible quite often for allowing the attachments in. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy had experimented with some ecstasy over a holiday weekend. All of a sudden, he's walking down the street barefoot with a Bible, preaching the word of the Lord. And all of a sudden, I get this call. Can you check him to see if he's attached? And he is. And we know he's attached by three hobos. Now, Carl was the dominant hobo there. But what they had caused him to do was he cleared out his home. He gave away all his furniture. This guy lived in a $1 million house. Gives away his car and cleared out his bank account. So what they did was they kind of took him over, wanting him to live a hobo life. And when I went there to meet with him, it was probably the one that where it was the most aggressive attachment up to that point, where I went to him and said, I saw him in the back and I looked at him and he didn't look the same. You can tell if an attachment has taken over a person by looking in their eyes. And then all of a sudden it seems like a different presence is there. And I said, hey, Mike, what's going on? And he goes, Mike's not here. He goes, I'm running the show now. And that was kind of a shock to me. And you know, I'm just a regular guy. I'm doing my best to help people too. So I got to be careful because, you know, we've both been attacked before by these attachments. So it's not like we're just, you know, immune to whatever they want to do. And anyway, I thought we might get physical at that moment. And then I just said to myself in my best Arnold Schwarzenegger voice, I'll be back. And I came back with the team, and we were able to take them out. But we were cussed out by him, and who do you think you are, et cetera, et cetera. Because attachments really believe they have a full reign, possession, 90% ownership. They don't know about people like us.
Now, does it surprise these attachments when they run into people like you and Antoinette?
Well, there's not many people like me and Antoinette. If there were, I would be referring a lot of people outsourcing.
Yeah, because we have a lot of folks that are attached. I mean, we...
Yeah, it's an invisible epidemic.
We just go and work it one by one, and hopefully we can...
Change your life. Give it back to life. This is what we say. We give you back your life. And the influence, you just never know. Sometimes the attachment's hidden. A lot of times they'll say to us, oh, we're not making any problem. We're just here. And we say, but you're not supposed to be there. And but then there's other attachments that'll just take over the person. You say, who's that guy talking to himself walking down the street? I'm going to tell you, homeless are full of attachments. And they're all talking, they're arguing amongst themselves inside that person's mind and body. I mean, there's,
okay, so can we go on to the Celia Cote story?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there were some that we had that came up, and I thought because I know you deal with paranormal and the ghosts, when I had written down this note, mm-hmm. It's called the 666 story.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we get a call, from somebody who works for us. We actually have people who can seal the energetic field. I have two or three people right now that have that ability of sealing and preventing the attachment from getting in. So we get a call from one of the sealers, and she goes, you know, my cousin called me, and he's upset because crazy stuff's going on at the house. And the cabinets are opening and closing, noises, and...
The girlfriend has multiple scratches. She was being attacked.
Right, and the new girlfriend, yeah, we'll call this one a poltergeist because it could do all those things. Scratch the girl in the middle of the night, and she was screaming. And they sent us photos, and I said, okay, we're going to come.
Yep. Okay, so then Robert sends me the address, which is so funny. He sends me the address to go, we're going to go and remove a ghost, allegedly. So he sends me the address, and it has three sixes in front of it.
Yeah, 6665. I'm going, what?
Oh, wonderful.
What?
So we have a team, right? So we meet up at this place, and the people leave. They are already getting in the car. They're like, see ya. So
good luck.
Yeah, so there's this, we're sitting outside talking about how we're going to approach the situation, and there's this big, heavy, you know, those security doors that is a screen door. It's a big old heavy one.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, this door opens super hard, blam, and it just opens like, come on in then. And I'm like, we
better be careful.
Yeah. So, and we know that this ghost is moving stuff, but we didn't know it was a poltergeist. And so this thing was a female, but she was floating around the house. She's taking stuff out of drawers. She's throwing stuff. And she's actually floating around in the living room.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Once we have the whole team in there, anyway, I have Antoinette in trance, and then Marcos, who's also very good at this. I have them both in, and both of them say, yeah, she's sitting defiantly in the recliner in the living room. And I said, uh-oh, okay, defiantly. And then she said, yeah, and she said she ain't going anywhere. And then I said, well, come on. We need to start communicating a little bit to say, hey, we really are here to help you. And come to find out, this poor girl had been murdered in 1932 or so.
Something like that, 32 yeah. or 33.
Yeah, and she was 16 at the time and had been murdered, and she'd been ghosting in this area all that time. And this is something we like to do, is like, hey, come on, let's move on with your life here. And we have tons and tons of stories of helping ghosts move.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did, and we felt for, she said that the person that they said murdered wasn't the right one, or somebody else had done it. And we went on, and we got her name, and her name was Celia Cota, C-O-T-A. And you know, with Google now, we're able to check all this. So we were able to plug in the name and found out there she is, Celia Cota, and it told the whole story. And they thought she had been killed by a serial killer, but that wasn't the case. And nobody ever gets away with murder, so to speak, because once you do cross the other side, you still have to answer. So no matter what they do here, you still got to, you know.
Right. Got another thing coming.
Yeah, you got another thing coming. It's true. So Celia Cota, everyone can look her up and get that story.
And she was so kind after we got, she started to, you know, be okay. I'm going, she had no choice anyway, but we wanted to, because she's powerful. So remember, poltergeists are different from just a ghosting.
They're able to harness power, energy. And ghosts, you know how they get power? The new improved way of getting power, a ghost, they told us, laptops.
Really?
They'll take the energy from your laptop battery.
Have they said what it is about the laptop battery that's different than any other battery that allows them to harness that energy?
This is a recent thing we were told, because we're like, well, how do you get your energy, like, to do certain things, you know? And they said, oh, laptop.
Laptop.
So we're thinking, you know,
anytime you find your laptop drained real quick, maybe a question.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, we're all familiar as investigators that, you know, your camera batteries drain rather quickly or, you know, other batteries drain rather quickly when you're on an investigation. But, I mean, that doesn't surprise me that laptop batteries are feed them pretty quick, too.
Right.
But that's pretty interesting. Huh.
It's actually funny.
Yeah, we're always amazed.
Yeah, because they always give us a little piece of info. But anyway, so Celia was able to go. And we were really happy because she'd been there since 1930-something.
And recently, I know it came up that she's back out, and they have to go to re-education on the other side, and sometimes that takes a little while. So she's back to make choices about what she wants to do.
Yeah, because she didn't get to live a life.
Right.
So, and then, I mean, so there's such a difference between the ghost and the poltergeist. So when people need to know that too, the poltergeists are really strong.
Right. We're dealing with one right now at the Hotel Del Coronado, and she's been there since 1894, and we want to kind of connect with her and see if we can help her continue her evolution. We just, you know, this, remember, we do this out of just, we like to help. And my big thing is GDP, ghosts don't pay.
It's true. Now, let me ask you this. Is it harder to move a poltergeist than an ordinary garden variety ghost?
No, it's a safety issue. Because okay. If there was something sharp around you, they could throw that sharpness at you.
Yeah.
So it's mainly a safety issue because they actually can pick up a whole chair and clunk you.
Yeah.
And throw stuff at you.
Yeah, I was attacked in an interview at the Hilton in San Diego where the ghost released a Murphy bed on me.
On
my head. Luckily, I was leaning forward. I might not be here talking today with you.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And my sister was chased by a driverless car. I mean,
we have so many endless stories.
Yeah, and like I said, this job comes with a disclaimer.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So, Antoinette, a driverless car, really?
Yeah.
It was Easter Sunday.
Yeah, a number of years ago.
Yeah, and I was sitting on the porch, and it was probably 2010 this happened. So I was supposed to remove a nurse that got attached. We were having trouble with that removal, and she was supposed to come back, I think, Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah, and so we were. I was sitting on the porch, and my stepdad was actually in the hospital. So I was sitting there smoking. It's when I used to smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I don't smoke now. But I was sitting there smoking a cigarette. It was early in the morning, and I was thinking about my stepdad. And next thing you know, it's across the street and to the right, like two houses up across the street on the right. So I hear the car, or it was a little truck start up. Boom. And I thought it was my neighbor's across the street with their little baby. I don't know them, but I always see them and I always think how cute they are, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, it's Easter. So the truck starts to take off and it starts to turn into my driveway. And I'm like, oh, they're probably turning around. These are my thinking thoughts. And then I was going to wave, but then I was like, whoa, it just gunned. And I had to out of the way, and it ran into the house, and the
airbags went off.
Airbags, yeah, they were going off, and my roommate at the time comes out, and he's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, there's no one in the car."
Wow.
And so he runs over to the passenger or to the driver door, and he opens it, and there's no key to shut this thing off. There's nothing, just the airbag and the smoke coming out of it. And he jumps in, and he steps on the brake, and it shuts it off.
Huh.
And I was, what the heck? So here's this car. It was grinding, too. It was scary. It was grinding and trying to go through the house before Marcos even came out. And then, you know, everybody, neighbors are coming out now, and someone called the police, I guess, and the cops get there, and they're like, whose truck is this? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's that guy, you know, across the way. And he had come out now, and he's walking. He had been mowing his backyard, and they thought I was covering for this guy. They're like, well, how did it just get here? And I'm like, I just started up and came across the street. That's how. And they're like, they didn't believe me. And at least Marcos was there, you know, he was my witness. And then this one sheriff did say, oh, it was probably a ghost. And then I'm like, yep.
Yeah, you know how right you are.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So it damaged the house.
Wow.
But it came from, yeah.
But we got the history on the ghost. He was a 17-year-old prostitute from the 70s.
Oh, yeah, because that was the one that was attached to...
Yeah, it was attached to the nurse.
And she stayed behind so she could mess up stuff.
Right. Yeah. So
they put, like, little hits out on me and Bob, I think.
Yeah. They know what we do.
Yeah, because I've been attacked many a times, like thrown, injured.
Right.
I get a lot of that sometimes. There's been a lot.
For 23 years, we're still here.
Now, you bring up an interesting point, and that is, you know, they put out little hits on you. You know, I've heard this more than once from more than one exorcist, and that is, you know, they've always got some sort of little vendetta on you, or they leave a little calling card, and they let you know that, you know, you're always on their mind. So I gotta throw this question in both your ways, and I'll start with you, Robert, and that is, what's been the most obvious sign that you know that there's a never-ending vendetta against you? Has there been a calling card that's been left on your front doorstep that just says, you know what, we're always watching, we're always here. If you continue to get deeper into the caseload, you're next.
I look at it and I feel like I'm blessed. I'm kind of, you know, I survived the Murphy bed, and that would have taken me out, I thought. But I look, and I know when somebody's attached, and I know when I look in their eyes, and I see when that attachment's looking back at me, mm-hmm. to be aware.
But we don't feel like attachments follow us anywhere. They can't attach to us.
Yeah, we've both been attached.
Yeah, but they really don't follow us and leave a calling card. If they're going to do something, it's usually immediate.
But we're wary. I mean, there's cases where I'm always ready in case that attachments take over that person and try and attack us. I'm a big guy, so I know. Okay, just be aware.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've been pretty fortunate. We've worked out of this office here in San Diego for all these years, and a few times we've been a little nervous.
Been a little nervous, but we're just like, okay, because you can get the vibe from the attachment.
How strong they are.
Yeah.
But then, by then, when we know that they're in the office, that they're kind of surrendering, they got us, and they're hoping for, you know, some kind of, help. That hey, you know, it wasn't that bad. I didn't do anything really bad.
Yeah. Sometimes they talk coming out, and sometimes they stink coming out. Sometimes they...
Yeah.
I mean, we've had, I don't know, thousands.
Yeah,
just thousands.
I call them attachments. They're exorcisms, you know. Mm-hmm. We're just giving the people back their lives to them. And, you know, we want to really put our service out. We're getting older now, you know. We can...
He is. I'm staying the same age. Tim, did you know that I do communicate with animals too, even past away animals?
No, I didn't know that. Really,
I'm an animal communicator. That's my other gift I have, and I have communicated with animals that have passed away, of course, and I've also just communicate with animals, period. And so a lot of people will bring their animals to us and find out what's wrong with them or if they can talk to them. We have little pop-ups we do. Before the COVID, we would do pop-ups at dog parks and have people ask us questions and stuff about
that. Yeah, we were doing 3questions.pet. And anyone could come to the dog park with any animal you got, you get to ask it 3 questions.
Really?
So, we were doing that too. So
we just want to inform people of the spirit world. I mean, everyone lives in that physical, mental world, and there's no, it's way out of balance. If they understood, hey, this isn't the only time. We also have access to all your lives.
Oh, yeah, past lives. Those are fun for us.
Yeah, so if people are interested, we could check out your book and tell you what you've been before. And it's just a great, great thing. Once you realize that this isn't a one-and-done deal, that you get to do over and over. This is my 32nd life, by the way.
I do have to ask Antoinette, what are the things that animals are most irritated by us?
You know, they're a lot of fun, and I think your breath would be one.
Really?
they really have a problem with people coming up and going woo 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 to their face.
Okay.
They have a really smell, so they don't like that. They narc their owners off for a lot of different things. And, you know, I love, like I said, I'm a big dog advocate.
Yeah.
But I love every animal, anything, any creature. I'm in love with them. I think God did a good job when he put all these beautiful things here for us. But, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say I would really like her skill to be utilized more. I mean, you want to talk to the whales? You want
to talk to the dolphins?
You want to talk to the elephants?
We talked to a group of frogs in our neighborhood.
Yeah, we talked to the frogs.
That's a funny story.
And it's a great story. The frogs say, yeah, we have a sing-off every night.
So when you hear them,
right,
you know,
they're competing.
They're competing vocally.
Yeah.
Did you know that? No.
we have a chipmunk in our front yard who's practically a pet. I mean, he's pretty cool.
Right, so he's probably got a lot to say.
So we
talked to a little gopher one time and his family because he was missing somebody's tree. So we went there and we talked to him. And he told the guy, hey, what do you say? Give me some.
He goes, you know, my kids really like the orange peels. If he could throw those. And he goes, and let us be here, and we won't chew your trees. We'll go get the neighbors.
Yeah. So those kind of things. So any kind of animal problems as well, we've solved quite a bit.
Yeah.
And quite a bit.
Huh.
We like rescues. When rescues get relocated, we kind of find the history of the animal, and we tell it, hey, this is a forever home. Don't be so anxious, you know.
Those ones are really cool. The bird dog was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Tanner's funny.
Right.
And Django, he's funny. I mean, we have so many, and we've come across a cat dog. So it was a cat inside of a dog's body.
Really?
And the lady had
The lady
brought him because she said he's acting like a cat. And he's like, well, I am a cat, but he didn't believe it. And during the
session,
during the session, and this dog, tiny little dog, leaped up about 5 feet onto a table and landed.
Like a cat would, not like a dog would.
Yep, just like a cat, and stood there.
See, my sister had a cat that acted like a dog.
There you go.
Yeah, there you
would
go.
Would chase things and things like that.
Yeah, and would sit, would heel, would roll over, it acted just like a dog.
And so that's what happens sometimes, and I'm not sure why. Why would that happen? Did he say wine?
We don't know why it enters. You know, spirit is spirit.
Yeah, and we had a hippie dog too one time, and he was actually a guy from the '60s who used to be a dog. He used to
womanize.
Yeah, womanize.
He was a womanizer. I guess that when he got to the other side, well, you want to be a dog? Poof, you're a dog.
Yeah, he is really cool.
Yeah, you're fine. You get as a spirit, you get to do anything. You want to come back, you could come back as a bird if you want to experience that. So you have total freedom. And, the world's in a sad state of affairs because, you know, the wrong people are running the show. This is supposed to be a gift, and this is supposed to be an adventure. And instead of, you know, some economic, you know, machine. So this is they told us on the other side, this is the fourth attempt to create heaven on earth. And it's called the fourth fail.
The fourth fail, huh?
Yeah. So
Interesting.
Yeah, we're very, very happy to, you know, enlighten people. And we're blessed to be able to do what we do. And I'm glad that we're here to help people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you can contact Robert, Major, and Antoinette at ghostremover.com. And again, folks,
remember Robert Afterlife.
Robert Afterlife at gmail.com?
Robert Afterlife at gmail.com. That will be the communication way.
Okay.
When you go on Ghost Remover, it more tells our story. Plus, there's a book out off of Amazon called The Ghost Remover Chronicles. And that's by Elle Sims. She put this together for us. It's a compilation of some of the work that we've done. And we have plenty of stories coming up. In a few weeks, we will be at the Hotel Del, and we'll help that girl. And we really appreciate, you know, you interest in us, because I'll tell you, it's hard to be accepted in the field that we are, in the world that we live in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And again, we find what you do absolutely fascinating, and we know that both of you have helped a lot of our audience and continue to help our audience, and we greatly appreciate it. Robert, Antoinette, want to thank you both for joining us today. And again, we want to, encourage our audience, if you're having any issues in your life, to reach out to Robert and Antoinette, robertafterlife@gmail.com, and reach out to them and ask them for help. They'll gladly reach back to you and let you know what they can do for you. Again, that'll do it for today's episode of Darkness Radio. Dave will be back again, and we'll have True Crime Tuesday for you on Tuesday in the best in True Crime Talk Radio. If you're not signed up for True Crime Tuesday, you do so by going to darknessradio.com, clicking on the banner with Scully in the detective outfit, and you can sign up over there at Patreon. And of course, we'll be back next weekend for the best in paranormal talk radio right here on Darkness Radio. For Dave Schrader, I'm Tim Dennis. That'll do it for this weekend's edition of Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.